Esther Perikhes Pasuk Aleph by Yom Hahu on that day. So it's all happening very, very quickly. It's still Pesach. So on that day, the day Haman was hanged, the day that the plot was revealed, Nosan Hamelcha Chashrei Rosh Lester Amalka, as base Haman, so Rer HaYehudim. King Achashverosh gave to Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Erica Brown points out that Mordechai, as we're going to see, does not get any kind of title or promotion to any official government post anywhere in Pasuk Ches or even Pasuk Tes. At the very end in Pasuk Yud, he's called Mishneh LaMelech HaChashverosh, but until then, he is a minister without portfolio. But what King Achashverosh gives to Esther and is the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. So Haman does get a new title. Now Haman's title is enemy of the Jews, and King Achashverosh is giving his house. Now what house are we talking about? His personal home? His house in the palace? Rabbi Alex Israel suggests that it's his office. He had the big corner office on the palace grounds, and so he takes that away and puts Mordechai in it, and that's a symbol. It's a symbol to all of the people that the Jews are in favor, and that Haman, enemy of the Jews, is now out of favor. This is going to be confounding to a lot of anti-Semites. When Mordechai bo lifnei hamelech, ki yida Esther mahula. And Mordechai came before the king because Esther had told the king, had revealed Mordechai's relationship to her. And in the Gemara, there's some speculation about marriage. Certainly, a pashto pshat would be that he's her uncle, Esther Bastodo from before. So Esther is now revealing all in terms of her family connections and her Jewish people's connections. And King Achshverosh gives them a house. How nice. Now the question is, what is he going to do for the Jewish people, which is what Esther had asked for at the banquet. And so far all he's doing is handing over personal property to Esther and Mordechai. Beis Vayosar HaMelech Estabato Asher Hevir Mehaman. And the king slipped off, removed his signet ring that he had taken away and he had removed from Haman. And he gave it to Mordechai. Now, the signet ring belongs to the king. The king has the ultimate authority. The ring is a symbol of that authority, like the scepter and the orb in England. So the king removes it from Haman and hands it over to Mordechai. So it seems that now the practice was that the signet ring went to a high government official, although Mordechai doesn't have a title. Vatasem Esther es Mordechai al beis Haman, and Esther placed Mordechai in charge of the house of Haman, gave him the big office. Now, the signet ring is a big deal in Tanakh. We know from the very beginning, from Paro giving the Estabato el Yosef, he gave Yosef the signet ring to give him tremendous authority over the people to remake the entire economy. Signet rings are mentioned elsewhere as well in Tanakh. We know that Queen Izebel took King Ahav's seal, his signet, when incriminating Naboth with a false accusation, and she sealed it with the king's seal. And the Masudas David says it's Tabato, it's his ring that she used to show absolute royal authority. When Tamar lies with Yehuda in a connection that would ultimately bring us Mashiach, Tamar asks for a sign of his seal and his cord and his staff. So the seal, the signet ring, these are very, very important symbols of authority. We know that in Haggai, which we haven't learned together yet, it talks about Zerubbabel, the descendant of David HaMelech, and he's going to get his own signet ring. So this is a key symbolic moment to give the signet ring over, to show everybody out there that the authority was with Mordechai. But still, what about the Jewish people? So Gimel Vatosef Esther Vatadaber Lefnei HaMelech. So Esther continued. She added on again and spoke before the king. Esther is very disappointed in the fact that the king is giving away basically cheap presents. Things that Haman had now go to Mordechai. That's great, but what does that do for what I talked to you about the survival of my people? And in fact, Rabbi Soloveitchik says on these psukim that we don't say Hallel on Purim. So why not? The Megillah has an additional special message. It's a story of triumph and salvation but also the book of Jewish tragedy and the peculiar Jewish destiny. It is a book of Jewish insecurity, and Esther is illustrating that with some histrionics that she did not utilize before. Batipol lifnei raglav, she fell by his feet, in front of him, rather than to simply stay calm and to be completely self-gathered and dignified like she was before in front of Haman. Here's where she gets emotional. Vatevken, she weeps. Vatischanen lo. And she begged him. Lahavir es ro'as Haman ho'agogi. So unlike Yitzias Mitzrayim, where we didn't beg Paro, we told Paro, let my people go, said Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu openly saved us in that case. But here it's all Hester Panim, and we have to kiss up to the king a bit, and to the king's ring. Lahavir es ro'as Haman ho'agogi, to avert the evil decrees, the wickedness of Haman Ha'agogi, which is interesting. Ha'agogi. Is Haman really from Agag? Agag comes from Amalek. Amalek is a nomadic desert tribe. Here we are in Persia, in the middle of a very established empire. Was Haman truly from Agag? Was Haman truly Ben Hamadasa, as he's going to be called later? So the Chazal suggests that some of it isn't just necessarily biological lineage. It's the lineage of being like Amalek, unreasoning hatred of the Jew that completely obsesses and takes over the anti-Semite's mind to the point of a lack of reason and ration. Agag is the one, of course, that Shaul HaMelech did not destroy. And in some ways, Mordechai, a descendant of Binyamin, a descendant of the house of Kish, of Shaul, is rectifying what Shaul didn't complete. There's a lot of parallels between Shaul and Mordechai. Shaul is dressed, when they try to dress him up as king, and it's his royal robe that gets torn. Mordechai is in sackcloth and ashes, and then in royal robes later on. Mordechai is hiding in plain sight over there by the gate of the palace, and Shaul hid when he was informed he was going to be king among the barrels. He was kind of self-effacing in a way that's generally unkinglike. So this Agogi is a very important connection. Ve'es machashavto, and his scheme, his plots, asher choshav al hayehudim, which he had plotted against the Jews, but had not actually finished up, except for the fact that the plot isn't necessarily undone yet. We said at the end of Perek Zion, why are we still going? Haman is hanged, that's it, that's the end. Yay! Arur Haman! Boo, 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 as Uncle Moshe says. But the problem is, Haman's evil works are still in the works. The process hasn't been halted. The plot is still plugged in. We have to find a way to avert it. And that's not done yet, and that's what she's reminding Ahasuerus.